Turn with me to the book of Romans. Ray, you might want to keep a check on my mic. Chris, you're going to notice some of the things you shared this morning are right in line with what I'm going to share today. I want to talk to you before I even read my scripture on this subject. You've come too far to turn back. Look at your neighbor and say, you've come too far to turn back. Now, open your scriptures to Romans chapter 8. We're doing a deep dive into Romans chapter 8 as a church family, trying to see what God wants to speak to us through all this. And today we're going to begin reading with verse 12. Read through verse 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that it would touch our hearts today, Lord. Penetrate those deep recesses in our heart that need to be touched by the power of your word. Let us leave this place encouraged and changed and challenged as you speak to us in Jesus' name. You know, I often try to think of how Paul was approaching things when he would minister to congregations and people and groups of people in churches. And the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to a church that he had not yet visited, but yet he had a deep desire to help strengthen them. Believers in Rome they were living in the heart of the Roman Empire. It was a culture that was marked by political power, pagan worship, moral corruption, and an ever-increasing hostility that was growing towards the Christians. Kind of sounds like where we live today. You think you might have it bad, but let me just tell you, we ain't seen nothing yet. Because the devil is, I believe, about to unleash against the church. So you might as well go ahead and gird up yourself, get ready, get strong in Christ, because it's coming. You hear me? It's coming. You need to make sure you have a strong, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to withstand the attack that the enemy's going to unleash upon you and the church. But I'm glad today that we've got the greater one living inside of us. Amen? And if we will stand with him, we can stand against anything the devil tries to launch against us. They were surrounded by, just like us, pressure to conform. They were tempted to compromise. Anybody know what I'm talking about here this morning? Can anybody bear witness with me? And they were facing an uncertain future because of their faith. So Paul wrote them this letter to help ground them in the truth of the gospel. He wanted them to understand something. He wanted them to understand that they had been saved by grace, but also how they were to live after their salvation. By the time we arrive here in Romans chapter 8, Paul has already been building toward one of the greatest declarations in all of Scripture, that those who belong to Christ are no longer condemned. Somebody ought to say amen here this morning. No longer slaves to sin. Somebody ought to say amen here this morning. And no longer controlled by the flesh. Praise God. They've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to lead them into a completely different way of life. We ought to be living completely different than this world. We ought to be living in authority and in power that this world can't comprehend and understand. Because we've got someone living inside of us that's greater than this world. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? I believe you are. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 here, Paul reminds these believers that they are no longer obligated to live according to the old nature. We need that message in the church today, don't we? They've been adopted into God's family. They've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they are destined, just like you, destined for His glory. In other words, there's no reason to go back to the life that Christ has already delivered them from. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't go back. And that same message is speaking loud and clear to the church today. Every believer, everyone sitting in this room this morning and watching online, every person, every believer in Christ will eventually reach the moment when the past seems familiar. When temptation whispers, discouragement sets in, or when the Christian journey becomes extremely difficult. In those moments, the enemy will suggest to us in no uncertain terms that going back would be much easier. But God reminds us that what lies behind us is nothing compared to what He's prepared before us. Like Israel standing on the edge of the promised land, after they had just left Egypt, like the disciples who left everything to follow Jesus, and like Paul, even of himself, he said, I'm pressing toward the high prize of the calling in Christ. We, just like these peoples, we have come too far to turn back. We've been in this too deep to go back. Come on. God's grace has brought us so far. His Spirit is leading us, not backwards, not to stand still, but His Spirit is leading us forward. How about this? The best is yet to come. Even if all hell is unleashed against the church, even if it's unleashed against the Christians, I want to tell you, our very best is yet to come. Because the best is not wrapped up in what we have. The best that God has for us is not wrapped up in what we can attain. How about this? Sometimes the very best is wrapped up in how willing are we to suffer for Christ. Oh, we don't want to hear that in the church, do we? I want the blessing. I want all the good things that God has to give. I don't want any of that suffering stuff. But didn't Jesus say that if you want to follow me, take up your cross? The cross is not something that's comfortable. I watched these guys walk by the church this past Easter, and I see them going down the highway carrying those crosses, you know? And I'm reminded, now I know their cross isn't that heavy because they got a wheel on the bottom of it, you know? But what it represents is heavy. It's the burden that cross represented to Jesus Christ. He carried your burdens. He carried your sins and my sins. And He's telling us that if we really want to serve Him, it's not in the blessings. Sometimes the real following Christ is found in the suffering for Him. But God's grace has brought us this far. He's leading us forward by His Spirit, and His promises are still ahead for us. So again, let me make this point. Even if you're suffering, even if you struggle, I want to tell you, you can have God's grace to make it through and get through that thing and come out on the other side in victory. The only way you won't get there is if you do this, if you quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not quitting. I'm not, come on, turn to somebody else and say, I will not quit. Which brings me to share this with this truth established. Paul begins to remind us of a powerful reality. He says the Christian life is not just about what we've been rescued from, because, you know, we've all been rescued from a lot of stuff, right? I look out here, and if we could just start listing our stuff, some of us would go, whoa, I thought I was bad. Whoa. And you were. But it's not about all we've been rescued from. It's also about who we are no longer obligated to serve. I don't have to serve the devil. I had a thought. This came to me in my office this morning, and I was kind of sitting there meditating. Don't let sin rob you of your grace. Don't let sin rob you of God's grace for you. That's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to take that grace from your life by offering you sin. Don't give in to that temptation. I just throw that out for free. We can receive another offering if you want to pay for it. That's cool. All right. So before we can fully appreciate where God is leading us, we must settle the question of what no longer has a claim on our lives. In verses 12 and 13, it says that we are no longer debtors to the flesh, since Christ has paid our debt in full. There is no reason to return to the very master who once held us captive. It breaks my heart to see people go back into a sin that God has delivered them from. You cannot play around with sin. You're not strong enough. If you flirt with it, it will sting you, it will bite you, it will devour you. And before you know it, it starts little, and before you know it, it'll get a hold of you, and you can't get free from it unless God sets you free, which he will do that. But the best thing is to stay away from it. Flee sin. I'm going to say that one more time because it sounded so good. Flee sin. Whatever it dresses itself up as, whatever pressure or pleasure it tries to show you is available to you, it's a lie. It's a lie. Recognize it. Have a discerning spirit. If it is not in the Word, if it's not what God says is best for you, run from it with everything you've got. Flee like you're on fire, praise God. That was for me. So, we've come too far to turn back. So, with that being said, we must leave the flesh behind. Paul begins by saying, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What an interesting way to describe the Christian life. Paul says, we are not indebted to our sinful nature anymore. The flesh no longer owns us. I'm getting a little bit of ring here. Back me off just a smidgen. It no longer, your flesh, oh my gosh, no longer has the legal right to dictate our choices. The flesh is a terrible master. It promises freedom. But what does it offer? Addiction. It promises happiness. But what does it give us? Emptiness. It promises life, but leaves nothing but destruction in its wake. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. It's like somebody who has finally paid off a mortgage after 30 long, grueling years. They receive the letter from the bank and it's stamped, paid in full. You ever got one of those? You ever paid off a car? You ever paid off anything? There, I got a witness. But let's just imagine that we've got a 30-year mortgage and we just sent the last payment in and we get a letter from the bank and it says paid in full. Wouldn't that be liberating? Especially with house prices the way they are now. But every month afterward, the bank keeps sending you, or rather, you keep sending checks to the bank because that's what you've always done. Wouldn't you think something's wrong with that? Why would you continue paying a debt that no longer exists? Say, Yet spiritually, hear me now, spiritually, y'all looking at me all happy this morning, but spiritually, many believers do exactly that very thing. Christ has paid our debt, but we continue giving the flesh our obedience. We keep responding to anger when forgiveness is available. Uh-oh. We return to bitterness when freedom has already been purchased for us. We revisit guilt and shame. Oh. Long after Christ has delivered us from that condemnation. But Pastor, you don't know my past. Maybe I don't. But I know the one who died to free you from that past. You hear me? And if you, problem is, you know problem is you're too familiar with your own past. You keep living it. Get out of the past. Forget about it. Some of the stuff I've done in the past, sometimes it'll come to my mind, and I think, did I do that? Was that me? And it's not that I'm trying to say I didn't do it. It's just that God has begun to clear me, my conscience, from all that condemnation, that guilt, and that shame. It's like when it came to Paul and they said, you're the one that's been killing people. Paul goes, who? I ain't killed nobody. But Paul did. He did. But he was so free from that condemnation and that life that God had set him free that it was like that old man didn't exist anymore. You understand what I'm trying to say this morning? You can get so free in God that your past doesn't have control over you. You can get so free in God that those things that bring you anxiety and fear and depression, you can overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you have been delivered from that stuff. You are free. I just got to say that again. You are free. You are free. You are free. But you don't know. No, I don't know. But he does. And I'm not the one offering you freedom. He's the one that's already purchased your freedom. What are you going to do about it? Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be awful to be standing in front of your judge and maker? And you struggle with this thing all your life. And he says, go back to that moment. Right there, I set you free. But yet you chose to suffer. You chose. He said, but I'm not making a choice. I didn't make this happen. But you're making a choice to stay in it. Uh-oh. You are making a choice to stay in it just as easily as you can make the choice to get out of it. But here's the thing. You can't. I can't. You can't come and sit in front of me and let me try and counsel you and tell you how to get out of it. I can give you some advice, but I can't set you free. Come on now. A psychiatrist can't set you free. Thank you. But Jesus can come into your situation if you will invite him in. Invite his word in. Invite his spirit in. Let him overcome, overpower, and empower you. You can walk out of any situation you're in right now free, free, free. There's freedom for the addict. There's freedom from anxiety. There's freedom from fear and depression. There's freedom from doubt. There's freedom from guilt. There's freedom from shame. Yes. Hallelujah. You can walk in a crowd, no matter what you've done, hold your head up because you know God has already forgiven you. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I need a towel. I want the big one today. This is my bishop towel. They gave me this when I became a bishop. He says bishop. So it's legal. But Paul reminds us that the flesh is no longer our creditor. We owe it nothing. And Paul doesn't pretend that the battle's over. Just because you know this doesn't mean the battle's over. Because the devil doesn't give up that easily, does he? Oh my God. If only. Because the flesh still whispers. Temptation is still going to come. I like what Lester Sumrall said one time. I liked it so much, I wrote it down in the front of my Bible. Dr. Lester Sumrall, I was in a service. He said this. He said, temptation resisted ceases to become temptation. Did y'all get that? The longer you resist it, the weaker it gets. There'll come a point when that temptation is not a temptation anymore because you've overcome it through resistance. So when your flesh says, do this, do this, do this, you got to have it. You know you want it. You know you want it more than you want a breath of air. You know you want to take that drink. You know you want to snort that. You know you want to puff on that. You know you want it. But you say no. You might be shaking and trembling. With everything you've got, you might be able to just barely say no, but you get the strength to say no. And I'm telling you, if you say no, the Holy Spirit will back you up. What he's not going to do is be there when you continually do the same things over and over again, wanting and hoping to get free. But when you make up your mind, there's power in a made up mind. Once you make up your mind, I don't care. You say, it ain't going to be easy. It might be hard. But I know that if I will just make up my mind, I'm going to do what's right. God will empower you and strengthen you with the Holy Ghost, and you can overcome that thing. But you can't keep playing with it. What do you think repentance is? Repentance says, I've sinned. I acknowledge it. I admit it. I'm sorry for it. Please forgive me. Now I'm not going to do it again. That's the difference in a Christian and then someone playing church. The Christian says, I will not do it again. You hear me? Because the flesh will whisper, temptation still comes. And how about this one? Old habits will still try to reclaim their territory. But remember, temptation has no authority. Just because sin calls your name does not mean you have to answer. Y'all need to seem to sit on that for a moment. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to what once controlled us. I'm at that point where we got to start believing that the Holy Spirit is really as powerful as he is. Because it's one thing for me to say, I know the Holy Spirit can set me free. But it's another thing to walk and act like I really believe that. Come on now. If he's all powerful, like I believe, see, he's not just something that comes and goes. He's everywhere. He was here when the earth was created. He moved upon people. And they did extraordinary things. I mean, he moved upon one man. He outran a chariot of horses. I mean, he's powerful. And do you think that this powerful third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, do you think that your addiction is too hard for him? Do you think that that thing that's tempting you, keeping you under instead of being over, do you think that that thing is too great that the power of the Holy Spirit says, I can't help her. I can't help him. I believe, just like he was hovering over the face of the deep, waiting for the commandment of God to create, I believe the Holy Spirit is hovering over your life, ready to create and move when you give him permission to do so. When you give him room to move, I believe he can do extraordinary things through you. Come on now. I believe he can set you free. I believe he can give you strength. I believe he can heal your body. I'm a witness. I went back to the doctor this week for my follow-up from my chest exam. The doctor looks at that thing. She goes, it says 3.6. Maybe they made a mistake. I just let her talk. Because I believe there ain't no mistake. Because I believe that God took my 5.0 going on to a 5.5, which meant open heart surgery, and put that thing right back where it needed to be. Because she had just told me, she says, you know, the echoes are inaccurate sometimes. The CT is very detailed, and that's what we go to. And my CT said 3.6. So I'm here to tell you this morning, God is a healer. Yes. He still heals. He still heals. He still heals. I know because I've got proof. He's done it for me. Praise God. Praise God. To God be the glory. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. God touched my heart. Not just emotionally, but physically. Because they told me, they don't pick up nothing over 10 pounds. Your heart might blow up. My wife didn't believe it. I said, the doctor said, I can't wash dishes. She said, the doctor's wrong. See, she's selfish. But I'm telling you, I stand on the fact, I believe God gave me a miracle. Amen? Now the devil's going to try and come and take that away from me. He's a liar. Just like he's going to try and come and take away what God has done for you. He's a liar. Are you willing to stand your ground when the liar comes to try and steal, kill, and destroy what God has done for you? Are you willing to be strong when this world unleashes its attacks against you? Are you willing to stand your ground? Because I'm telling you, we've got the power of the Holy Ghost living, abiding, dwelling inside of us. Praise God. Whew. That scripture, I can do all things to Christ, takes on a whole different meaning when you understand who's living in you. And you know what? We think, I can do all things through Christ. We equate it to moving mountains, doing all these great things for God. Sometimes we need to just step back and say, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ. I can overcome this addiction. How about this? How about this? I can overcome this tongue. Ooh, I got to walk away on that one. Because doesn't the enemy try to bring division with the tongue? He tries to, you know, you think about it. Church splits happen because somebody starts talking. Come on. If you're going to talk, let's do some talking. Let's talk about Jesus. Yes. Amen. When was the last time you called up somebody and said, listen, I ain't calling to complain about the pastor. Thank you. I ain't calling to complain about nobody. I'm just calling to, because I want to tell somebody that God has been good to me. I want to tell somebody that I was on my way to hell, but Jesus interrupted my, stepped right in the middle of my journey and my path and took my place. So today, I'm a child of God. I just want to tell somebody, I'm going to heaven. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Amen. So church, if Jesus brought you out of darkness, don't go looking for the light switch to turn it back on. Because we must follow Christ daily. Because Paul said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He doesn't say that God's children occasionally consult the Spirit. No, he says they are led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit when you get up in the morning. You can be led by the Spirit, and you better be, when you're driving down the road. Because people are crazy. Amen? Someone was coming behind me the other day doing this. Look over there, and as they're passing me, it was on, you know, four lane, as they're passing me, they're doing this, texting. We better be led by the Spirit of God. Because let me just tell you, if you're getting in your car and you're sitting in an intersection And you know you want to go straight, but just something that says, go right. You might want to listen to that go right. Because sometimes God is speaking to us. Now, I'm not talking to people who are making up stuff. I'm talking to people who are learning to be intimate with Christ. Because he, don't get me wrong. Listen, we need to spend as much time refining our hearing so that we can know when the Father is speaking to us. Because there are lots of voices out there, right? Lots of voices competing for your attention. Have you learned? Didn't Jesus say, my sheep? My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They know me. You can know him. You can hear him speak. You need to be led daily by the Spirit of God. You need to walk every step led by the Spirit of God. I wish I'd have learned that a long time ago. Maybe I wouldn't have made a lot of the dumb choices and mistakes that I made in life. You're still going to make some sometimes, but you know what? The Spirit of God will lead you if you will listen to him. Praise God. One of the greatest challenges in our culture is this. Everyone wants to be in control. We've got people even in this church want to be in control. If I come here and say, okay, this is totally an example. No names implied are real people, okay? Okay? Chris comes in, this guy named Chris. He comes in and gets saved. Starts pursuing God. Loves God. Wants to do anything. Chris comes in, proves himself time after time. So the pastor says, okay, Chris, I'm going to make you leader of the toilet cleaning team. I'm not talking to you anyway. You're not the Chris I'm talking about. So Chris is now proudly the leader of our toilet cleaning ministry. Well, April finds out about it. This girl named April. Y'all probably know April somewhere. Well, I've been going to church longer than Chris has. Why didn't they make me the leader of the toilet bowl cleaning team? See, that happens in church more than you realize. People get mad because someone else will get promoted. Now, I'm sorry, Chris, you got promoted to clean toilets, but your previous job must have been pretty bad. But you understand the point I'm trying to make here? Instead of being joyful because Chris got that promotion, somebody gets upset that it wasn't them. It wasn't me. Because we want to be in control. We customize our schedules. We have personalized playlists. Even our GPS reroutes us so that we can avoid traffic. Because we like choosing our own path, right? But Jesus, following Jesus, requires something of us. It requires surrendering the driver's seat. It's not what I will, it's what he wills. It's what he desires. See, you know, many of us, if you're like me, you know, you've used GPS systems to travel with. Thank God for that. Now, I remember back in the day when my wife and I got married, we went up to Washington, D.C. and Gettysburg and Pennsylvania and all those places, you know, and traveling. And just, we had this thing called a map. I mean, not maps on the app. I mean, maps. They used to have the kind that folded, that it would take up, you know, you're trying to. We were cutting edge when we went on our honeymoon, because I had a book of maps. You could just flip through and find it. Y'all remember those? And then when the road would change, your map might not match that current road, and then you'd be up the creek. But so thank God for GPS systems. You ever used your GPS and it gives you a route, but you know a better way? The navigation on your app might say turn left, but we know better, so we're going to go straight. And then you hear those, I don't think it does it anymore, but used to say this, recalculating. Remember that? Recalculating. And for that moment, you don't know where you're going. But that voice was so patient, recalculating. It didn't scream. It didn't shame us. It simply recalculated and invited us back to the right path. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. You might get off track a little bit, but if you will trust Him to lead you, you can hear Him, almost hear Him in the Spirit saying, recalculating. David, I'm recalculating. What? You hear me? Angela, I'm recalculating. Thank God. Because He can help us through our mess. He can help us through our mistakes. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Because He gently convicts us. He gently redirects us. He gently calls us back when we wandered from Him. And I'm glad He doesn't abandon us when we miss a turn. Come on, somebody. He leads us right back to the heart of God. That's His purpose, to lead you to the Father. But here's the difference. Unlike the GPS, the Holy Spirit is never wrong. Being led by the Spirit means seeking His direction before making decisions. See, I struggle with that one. Sometimes if I see something and I want something, I mean, I really want it, and I figured out a way to get it, when I should have stopped and said, wait a minute, Holy Spirit, do I need this? Is this best for me? Anybody understand what I'm saying here this morning? You ever done that and get what you really, really wanted and then find out later it wasn't what you needed? If only we had listened to the voice of the Spirit. It means saying, Lord, what pleases You, instead of what makes me happy. It means submitting our plans, even our relationships. Oh, you better get this one, you young ladies and young men. Submit your relationships to the Lord. Because once you say, I do, it's too late. Or it should be anyway. Nowadays, we just go down there and file for divorce. My mom and dad were married 63 years. You don't see that very often anymore. Got another couple here. The Wesleys, they've been married 63 years. You just don't see that anymore. Because now, if she don't do what I want, I go get another one. I'm glad that ain't the case in my family, in my relationship. My wife would have kicked me out a long time ago. She'd have got her, never mind. But she does say this all the time, that she does call me her second husband. Now, she's only been married once, but I'm not the same man I was when we first got married, because God did a change in my life. Now I wash dishes. I didn't wash dishes before. So you're going, oh my God, what happened? God just changed my heart. And He'll do that if you let Him. Amen. So she'll occasionally call me her second husband. She'll say, my first husband wouldn't do that. So he's gone, thank God. But it's important to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in our relationships, in our finances, right? This is all about being led by the Spirit. Talking to the church about being led by the Spirit. And how about our careers and our ambitions? Because the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Word of God. He always leads towards holiness, towards truth, compassion, humility, and obedience. So following Jesus is not simply avoiding bad decisions. It's about learning to recognize the shepherd's voice above every other voice that's competing for your attention. And then last this morning, we need to embrace our new identity. Paul reaches the heart of this message, this passage, when he writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Everything changes because of one word, adoption. Adoption. Say that word out loud, adoption. In Roman culture, adoption carried extraordinary significance. An adopted son received every legal right of a natural born son. His old debts were canceled. His former identity was erased. His inheritance became secure. Legally, he belonged forever. And Paul tells us that's exactly what God has done for us. The enemy wants us to think and operate like orphans. Orphans wonder if they belong. You ever feel like you don't really belong in the kingdom? See, that's a lie. They wonder if they'll be rejected. God will never reject you. They wonder if they'll be left behind. They wonder, but children, real sons and daughters, don't live that way. A little child doesn't ask permission every morning to stay in the family. I never had that doubt about my parents. I didn't know. They might have got mad at me. They might have been disappointed with me. But there's never a chance. I never heard them say, "We're going to get rid of you." Now, they said that about my brother. But they kept him. He doesn't wonder whether his parents will still love him or not because you made a mistake. He belongs because of relationship. Guys, you are in the kingdom because of relationship. Whew. Not because of your performance. Because you're not good enough. I don't have what it takes to measure up to his standards. But that's the confidence that Paul describes. The Holy Spirit continually reminds us that God is not merely our creator or our judge. He is also our Father. Think about the story of the prodigal son. When he finally returned home, he rehearsed a speech asking to become a servant. But when the father interrupted him before he could finish, because the son wanted employment, but the father offered restoration. The son expected probation, but the father was planning a celebration. See, that's grace. That's how God approaches you and looks at you. And many believers today, they even approach God like hired servants when he has already welcomed them into his family as sons and daughters. And Paul finishes by reminding us that if we are children, then guess what? We are heirs. Heirs of God, and how about this? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God has so much planned for you, your mind can't even begin to fathom what he has in store for you. And your inheritance, here's the thing, is not something you can earn. It's something we receive because we belong to the family. The world chases after temporary success, right? Temporary possessions and temporary recognition. But God's children, we are living for an eternal inheritance, my friends, that will never fade away. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in his blood. I've been cleansed from iniquity. I'm free because I am a child of God. Not worthy. Didn't have to be, because the worthy one died for me on the cross. All I got to do is enter in. Are you ready and willing, and have you entered in with your whole heart? We're living in an age when it's time for those who are on fire to get on fire, and those that are cold just keep getting colder. There ain't no room for lukewarm. It's time to make up your mind that today I'm going to make a decision to go all out for Christ. This morning before church, Angela called me over here, and she said, Pastor, there's something on my heart, and Angela, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I heard. Pastor, I'm going to give you all my money. No, that ain't what I heard. She said, Pastor, I want to lay down and give up everything that's been hindering me in my life. Does that pretty much sum it up, Angela? And I thought, wow, don't we all need to be that way? Anything that's hindering us, keeping us down, because the devil knows exactly what it is that will keep you down. Amen? I can look at you and come up with some things. I can look at Preston and say, I think this would bother Preston. You know, I think it would discourage him. You know, and I could be wrong. But see, the devil studies you. He knows you intimately. He knows in those quiet places, those quiet times when it's just you by yourself, what you're doing. And he's going to take that and build upon that. But here's the good news. So does the Holy Spirit. He knows what you're doing. And he's saying, come to me. I will give you the strength to overcome that. You don't have to be caught up in that anymore. You can be free from that. And I'm not talking to sinners this morning. I'm talking to the church. Y'all hear me? I'm talking to us. God is calling us to step up. God is calling us to give up what's in the past. I remember Pastor Parson. Would you stand? I remember Pastor Parson one time. He preached a sermon series on leaving Egypt. Because you know what? It came a point when the children of Israel, they wanted to go back. They were standing at a point where they saw no future, only the Red Sea in front of them, and behind them was Pharaoh's army quickly approaching to destroy them. And even then in times of the wilderness, they would say things like, we had it better in Egypt, wanting to go back. So there comes a point for the believer, if you're going to advance into the kingdom of God and do what God's called you to do, there's going to come a point where you got to say, I'm not looking back no more. Nothing back there for me. Nothing at the club. Amen? Nothing. I can't think of any other bad places. Did you say old relationships? Let's talk. No. David's like, I thought, no. But she's right. Relationships. How many times have people been in a bad relationship, they get out of it, and then I'm saying it's time to give up the past. Don't let those things, like Paul's telling us here, you've come too far to go back. Don't let the things of the past pull you back. So we're going to do like my pastor used to do. All right, everybody do this. Everybody looking at me? Now, look behind you, look to your left. Look as far back as you can look. Now, look back at me. Now look to the right, as far back as you can look. Now turn back, look at me. The past is gone. Don't look back at it no more. Don't let the devil tempt you to look back at it anymore. Nobody wants to hear about how bad things used to be in somebody else's life. If they start telling you that, tell them to shut up. Come on now. That person's been delivered. That person's free. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know what Lester did yesterday. I don't know what Gay's been doing last month. I don't want to know about any of this stuff. It's in the past. Let's leave it there. I want to be like Paul. I want to keep my eyes on the prize that's before me and press forward. Amen? Let's press forward. So, I want to ask you to come. We're going to receive communion, but more than communion, I'm going to ask them to come to the front. And we'll hand you the communions when you get up here. Now, but I want you to, as you take every step, I want you to be thinking about the things that you're leaving behind that you're not going back to. Okay? Everybody say, I'm not going back. So if you would come, ushers, I'm going to let you come first, ushers. And if you will come to the ushers and get you your communion elements, in just a moment we're going to receive communion, and then we're going to baptize, and then we'll be finished. But I believe that every step you take this morning as you're coming to receive communion is a step of faith saying, Lord, I'm committing to not going back. I've come too far to go back, okay? So Angela, I said we're going to pray for you, but I'd rather do it this way. I think every step you take, and then when you take communion, you're going to seal that in that communion, okay? So come. Dylan, would you come play something, anything? Thank you. Yeah, I've got one this way. Before we receive the bread and the cup today, I want us to just remember one simple truth from what we've just read. Paul said that we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Why are we no longer in that debt? Because Jesus paid what we could never pay. Jesus went to the cross. He didn't simply make salvation possible. He satisfied the penalty for sin. That debt of sin, your past, was canceled. The chains were broken. The power of sin, thank God, has been once and forever defeated. We no longer live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because we belong to Christ. Praise God. So as we hold this bread this morning, take your bread out. Remember that His body was broken for us. And as we take the blood, remember that His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And communion reminds us that our salvation was purchased at a great price. So Father, thank You this morning. We thank You for the bread that represents Your body and the cup that represents Your blood. So now we take and we eat of Your body. And we take this cup, this juice that represents Your blood, and now we drink. Now, Father, seal those things in us that have kept us in bondage, those things that have kept us from being the people that You need us to be, or the person that You need us to be. Let the blood and the body of Christ seal Your work in us today, that we leave this place with confidence, knowing that we're free and we're not bound by the flesh, but we are led by the Spirit of Christ. And we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. If you're free this morning, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, another thing I love doing is baptizing people. So would you hang around just for a couple more minutes? We've got some people that need to be baptized. They're going to run and change real quickly. Are you guys ready already? You are? They're ready already. I hope your mom is watching, because we're going to stream this for her. Which one of you guys would like to go first? It's not too bad. We'll get in here, and actually go on this side and get in, and you'll face this way. Stand right there. Now, Preston, is there anything you want to share? Any testimony you want to give? All right, just look toward the people there.
How's it going today? So, as you can tell, I'm getting baptized today. So, right. A little bit of my testimony without going too far into it, because that could take up a lot of your time. Let's go with, I was raised in a Christian home. We didn't go to church every single day. We didn't pray at the dinner table every single day. We didn't praise Jesus and praise God every single day. We had a lot of sin in our heart, even as a Christian family. And as I grew further from God because of that. Because the leadership in my house, both mother and father, just wasn't there. Not when it comes to the Lord. And a couple years ago, we lost my brother. And that was what really did it. I completely turned from the Lord. I denounced him. I hated him. And that's a strong word. But through time, over the past couple years, my father and my mother both grew right with the Lord. And they started praying for me. And I could feel it. I could feel their prayers.
Praise God.
I could feel it. I could feel that seed being planted and growing and being nurtured. And that brought me to today. And today I will never, never denounce the Lord again. For he is the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. Through him, we can do it all. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's awesome. I believe God's got something special for you, Preston. I really do. I mean, it's just, I hear the word unlimited, okay? So press in with everything you've got. Keep doing what you're doing. And the best is about to show itself to you.
Amen?
Amen. You ready for it?
Amen.
If you get in.
It's nice.
Is it warm?
It's nice.
It's not too hot, is it?
No.
Or you can sit down. It's probably going to be better if you sit on your rear. Yes, we can. Can you move forward just a little bit? We don't want to hit your head on the back. So, Preston, by your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Now take that hand there and put it on your nose. Hold your nose. You good? Okay. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Lester, is there anything you want to share? Any testimony you want to give?
This is a long time coming, Pastor.
Let people hear you.
I've been baptized many years ago, but I kind of, like a lot of us, kind of strayed away. But God brought me back.
Yes,
he wrote me good.
Yes, he did.
And I want to be baptized again to rededicate my life back to him, to
Amen.
Never wander again.
Amen.
For he has been good to me many, many times.
Praise God. Amen. See, baptism is you making a statement to the world that you're serving God. Sit down. Lester? Based on your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. One more. This is a special young lady right here. I'm growing to love this young girl. I'm going to tell you, you better keep your eye on her. God's got something special for her. Amen. Same thing I told Preston. I gave him the word unlimited. I'm telling you, there. I hear explosion. Okay? You want to share it?
So I had to write mine down. I'm not that good at like on the spot words like that. But I grew up attending church and was raised in a Christian home. I believed in Jesus at a young age, and I even taught Sunday school at my former church. But as I grew older, my faith became routine, and I slowly drifted away. Instead of relying on God, I tried to rely on my own strength. And recently, I realized I needed to make my faith my own and truly come back to God. As I learned more about sin and how deeply Jesus loves me and what he accomplished on the cross, my heart was transformed.
Beautiful.
Before fully surrounding and surrendering my life to Jesus and accepting him as my Lord and Savior, I was trapped in a cycle of addiction, depression, anxiety, anger, childhood-rooted trauma, lust, sexual assault, involvement with witchcraft and paganism and other sinful patterns. And I felt completely lost, hopeless, and empty. During one of the darkest seasons of my life, I cried out to God that I didn't even believe him. And I experienced his incredible grace and forgiveness. He showed me that I am not defined by my past or my mistakes, but by his love and his mercy.
Amen.
No matter how far I had wandered or how distant he seemed, he never left me. He never left my side. He was faithfully working in my life, even if I couldn't see it. And for so long, I searched for my worth in worldly success and the approval of others, but nothing could fill the emptiness in my heart. And a few months ago, I reached a breaking point, and I realized I could not do life on my own anymore, so I surrendered everything to Jesus. He forgave my sins, gave me a new heart, and filled me with a peace that I had never experienced before. Today, I'm being baptized as an outward declaration of the inward transformation Christ has done in my life. And baptism is the first step of bold obedience as I publicly proclaim, my commitment to follow Jesus, and I'm leaving my old life behind and celebrating the new life he has given me. And I'm so thankful that Jesus saved me, never gave up on me, no matter how far I went away, and has remained faithful through every season of my life. All glory belongs to him, and I'm thankful for this transformation today.
Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Praise God. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That's based on your confessing the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you. In the name, do you want to hold your nose?
No.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? Wasn't that beautiful? Look, we did all that, and it ain't even 12 o'clock yet. I think that clock stuck. Hey, guys, we love you. We love you. Let's celebrate with these that have been baptized today, and let's just pray. We have quite a few people who were at family events. So let's pray for them, and Wednesday night, we'll see you back here at 7:30. God bless you.